All right. So we're actually, surprisingly, not doing a piece on Hanukkah. That's just, we did last week something on Hanukkah. And I sent out a whole bunch of shiurim on Hanukkah, so I figured it's time to get back into tefillah, which, of course, always relates to all the Yom Tovim, including Hanukkah. So let's just dive into it. This ma'amar is called Hechsher Tefillah. Preparation for tefillah. So he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, Keshechala Rebbe Eliezer. When Rebbe Eliezer was sick, Nichnesu Talmidav Levakra. His Talmidim went in to visit him. Amrulai, they said to him, Rabbeinu Limdeinu Orches Chayim V'Nizke Ben Lechayel Amabo. Our Rebbe, teach us the pathways of life, that through them we will merit a life of Olam Haba. Amar Lahem V'chulei, he said to them a list of things. I don't remember the full list, but Minu B'neichem Minei Gayon, and he said a few things there, three things. And then he said the fourth thing, Uchshatem Mispalim, and when you daven, Du'u Lifnei Mi Atem Oimdim. Know before you are standing, ubishvil kach tizku lechayilam haba, and because of that you will merit the life of olam haba. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe asks on the whole beginning, right, their whole question, lechayre tamua, lechayre is bewildering. Ma ro al kacha levakesh orchas chayim kedei sheyizku leolam haba. What kind of question, what kind of request is that, that they were asking to know the pathways of life that would help them merit the life of Olam Haba? Didn't we learn explicitly in the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, don't be like servants who serve their master on condition to receive reward. You should be like servants who are serving their master without any intention or not conditional on receiving reward. So here they're coming to the Rebbe and saying, teach us how we can make it into Olam Haba. What kind of question is that? You want to know how to serve Hashem? So ask to serve Hashem. But what does that teach us, pathways of life that will get us into Olam Haba? Bir advarim ukachu. The explanation of the thing is like this. Shnei afal pi sheyesh orchos chayim shonim. Even though there are different paths of life, mehem drachim yisharot, some of them are straight paths. O mehem drachim akalkelot shirak nidmot li yisharot. And there are those that are crooked paths that just look like they're straight. Nevertheless, every person thinks that his path is straight. In his eyes, the person's eyes, his path, he's doing it, he's on the right path. In other words, we have a, you know, psychologically, we are prone very much to just justifying, you know, the path that we're on. We just think, you know, even if the path, sometimes the path looks very obviously off, but in that person's mind, he's already justified it, and it looks straight to him, as crooked as it may be. And sometimes, of course, it's subconsciously, not, you know, or innocently. The person just doesn't have the right way. He thinks it is. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily malicious. Ulam, imasa yochel ha'adam lizboich bilavavai. Somebody needs to be muted over here. If you can check your, So, you know, the truth of the matter is, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking to myself that, you know, in a more pratyistic way, perhaps we all have a certain, you know, general derech yishara, and then we have some kind of crookedness to our paths. It's very likely that there's a little bit of that derech, you know, akalson, that is by all of us. In any case, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Emasa yachel ha'adam lizboich bilvavai." Leimar b'bitachon darki hi hayishara. How can a person get to that point? How can a person be able to, you know, proudly in his heart say with security, that with sureness, darki hi yishara, my path is straight. Dafka al inyane oila ha'olam hazeh. So that he can only say that on things that are have to do with olam hazeh. You know, you're on the road. You know, you're going on the right road. This is the quickest way. Things that have to do with olam hazeh, you can be certain about them. Not necessarily everything, but many things you can be certain about when it comes to olam hazeh inyanim. Aval kasher nishal adam im darka derech yishara hishet tivei lechaylam haba. But when a person is asked, right, if we're going to ask a person, is your way in life, is your path in life, the straight way that is going to bring to a life of Olam Haba? Az misha darkoi einena derech ha'emes. So then somebody whose derech is not the derech of truth, lo yashiv bebitcha leimor darkihi ha'mevia l'chaylam haba. He will not reply with certainty that my path is going to bring to the life of Olam Haba. Yigamgem bilshono, he will stutter. Umilav adait lo tia befiv, and you won't get a sure word out of him. It's because, oh, I think it is. There's going to be some kind of uncertainty that's going to creep into his answer. There's not going to be any, you know, any sure word there. He won't be able to say it, you know, wholeheartedly. Yes, this is the path that brings to Olam Haba. Tam hadavar. The reason for this is she'etzem adibur al olam haba. The very speaking about olam haba, olam ha'emes, which is the world of truth. Da'yoy la'avias ha'adam lislot min ha'sheker. It's very interesting what he says. When you start talking about olam haba, just the very thought, the very speech, speaking about olam haba, is enough to bring a person to, how do you say, lislod, to
aversion.
Huh?
It's like an aversion.
It's like to, how do you say, when you put your finger in the fire and you bring the, what's the word? You're like, okay, my English is gone. But it's like a scariness. You know, you're like, just you can't do it. You just pull back. From lie. When once you're dealing with Olam Haba, there's something natural now that's going to creep up into you, which is going to just make you like get scared of just outright lying. And therefore the person will remain without the ability to say things, without the ability of speech to say things. He's going to, you know, well, maybe there's not going to be any clear statement coming out of the person. Nimsa. So it comes out. Shavchana darkayim shala datim orchaim zemani yisharim hu. That the way to ascertain whether the path of life that this person is on is from the straight paths or not, he hargasha sha'orchaim zem mevi ochein lechayim haba, is the feeling of whether this path of life is one that is going to really bring to the life of Olam Haba. Ve'en alev soled ba'ota et me'azkarat Olam Haba. And you don't find the heart just like jumping back at that moment from the mention of Olam Haba. If you are able to comfortably speak about your way of life as one bringing to Chaye Olam Haba, if you can say that without kind of pulling back, getting nervous or whatever it is, then that's the way you know that you are really on that path to Olam Haba. You are living on a derech that can bring to Olam Haba. Zeu ma sheshalu ha-talmidim Rebbe Elazar. And that was what the Talmidim, the students of Rebbe Elazar, were asking Rebbe Elazar. She'ilamdem orchas chaim ke'elu. He should teach them paths of life like these. Asher darkam yoidim. Of such that through those paths they will know uvahem argishim, and that through them they will be able to feel shemeviim heim l'chayil l'mabah, that they these paths are bringing them to a life of Olam Haba. Ve'en shom slida mizikaron Olam Haba, and that there won't be any of this slida, of this recoiling. That's a good word, I think. There won't be any of this recoiling from mention of Olam Haba. Rebbe Eliezer limdem dvarim klalim. So Rebbe Eliezer taught them general things. Shehem havanot bdukot, which are checked, you know, full proof ways of ascertaining this. Im holchim b'darche yosher, if they are going in the ways of straightness. Va'orchas chayim ha-mevi'im l'chayil ma'bo, and pathways of life that bring to chayil ma'bo. Achat min ha-avchanot shin nilmedui, and one of those ways that you can check this is uchshatem mispalim du'u lifnei mi'atem mitpalim, when you're davening, know before who you are davening. Shinei ala amur mitzraf lakesef v'kur lezahav v'ish lefi ma'alelo, because on the pasuk in Mishle perikov zayin pasukov aleph that says that they mitzraf the purification pot, I guess, of for silver and for gold, or furnace that purifies gold, v'ish lefi ma'alelo, and the person according to the one he praises. In other words, the same way you have this pot which will, you know, purify, and you'll be able to tell or you'll be able to get the gold itself, the silver, the gold that's pure. So if you want to know purely what the person is about, you look at the one who he is praising. If the person is praising tzaddikim, if the person is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you know this is a person who is righteous, and he's, in general, he's connected to Hashem. If he's praising and talking about some politicians or sports people or actors or whatever, like, or some other, you know, nonsensical things, so then you know that he's living a life of shtus. He's living a life of nonsense. Kotev Baal Sefer Charedim. So on that pasuk, the Baal Sefer Charedim says, and this is how what we just said, Shekeshem shakesef nivchan b'matzref azah b'kor, the same way kesef is purified, okay, in this melting pot or whatever it is, a purification thing, kach gam lo adam yesh kor mivchan ladat mama mado. So too, the person has a way, this kor, of being able to test and know what is his situation. V'u mahalalo, and that is the mahalalo, what he praises. Hayne lefi erech hargashato. Now he's taking it a little bit different than we said, based on the Sefer Charedim. Hayne lefi erech hargashato behilulo uvetfilato ken erech mamado tzivyono umuto. According to the worth or level value of his feeling when he praises or when he davens, so too is the level of his situation, his character, his characteristic, and his essence. In other words, it's interesting that I guess here we have a little bit of a tap in automatically into Hanukkah once we're using the mahalalo, the hiluloi, right? His praising. So, min hashamayim, they brought Hanukkah, some shaykhs here to Hanukkah, yemei halavayda. When you praise someone, or in your davening, right? In that state, depending on the feeling of the person when he is praising or davening, that will give him an indication where he's really holding. What's his essence? What's his character traits? What's his position in this world? Ki atfila sheyazdua mev esrim zkenim uvem kam nevim, because the davening which was established by 120 elders, and among them Nevi'im, like the Gemara Megillah says, Gnuzabo romimut nisgeva dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam. There's concealed in that fila the tremendous exaltedness of dvarim, what's called dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam, things that are standing in the heights of the world, right? Very, very high, elevated things. Sha'al yada meromema mitpalel et atzmo, that through them the person elevates himself, the person davening elevates himself. Ve'imo, and together with him is oilam kulay, the entire world. When we daven, we elevate ourselves, and together with ourselves, the entire world, on some level. Kishaomru. When they said, Nevuah shehutzricha ledorot nichteva, right? The Gemara says, right? Not all nevuahs, not all prophecies were recorded and written down in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. So, or in the Chumash for that matter. So, which prophecies yes and which not? So, the prophecies that were necessary for the generations were recorded. Prophecies that were local in time and place, but didn't necessarily have a shaychus, or something to teach, something important to teach the future generations, those weren't recorded. That's what the Gemara Megillah says. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe explains it like this. Hayta kavanat hadvarim, the intention of that is, sheyesh nevuah shenemra rak l'shata, v'yesh nevuah shenemra l'dorot, right? There is a nevuah that was said only for its time. And there is a nevuah that was said for generations, meaning, shelo nifseka adayin. The nevuah that was written for generations is a nevuah that never has ceased. Va'amirata mipi elyon ad olam. And its saying from the mouth of the one above goes on forever. In a sense, it's a nevuah that is still being spoken. The nevuah that was nichtav aladiris is a nevuah that kiveyachal Hashem continues to say that nevuah. And therefore this nevuah was written, because when we attach ourselves to this prophecy, we are listening with our souls, pnima, inward, nevuahs that are becoming like new nevuahs that are coming from within this nevuah. A nevuah that was said back when, how can it be relevant to new generations where there's new things going on? It's a different world. It's a world of internet. It's a world, right? How do these nevuahs have relevance today? Because the nevuah back then is like unfolding, and there's like new nevuah that's coming out of that very nevuah, new messages that can be heard from that nevuah, then kibiyachal Hashem is speaking throughout all the generations this nevuah, and you're continuously hearing new aspects of that nevuah, new tappings of that nevuah that are going to be relevant to every single generation. And he says, She'ein anu. Yicholim lakshiv l'dva Hashem, ela derech tzinor nevuah zu ashenichteva. We are not able to hear the word of Hashem except via that pipeline of nevuah that was written. Binazos. But Yaakov Moshe says, contemplate this. Meaning, he's giving you something that you should try to think about more. It is actually, it sounds kind of, in a certain sense, it sounds simple on a certain level. In another sense, it's something very deep. It means that, you know, something which kind of, the Ramban says, we're dealing with these parshias, right, of Simon, Maisa Ovis, Simon Labanim, right? So the Ramban says that the Chachamim used to open this up when they had to deal with the Goyim, right? They would open it up and look into the Chumash and understand how can we deal with this. What are we supposed to do? It's actually interesting. I just now, as I'm saying this, I just remembered. I read a story. You know, there was a very, very big Goin in Yerushalayim, the Chabina Rav. Okay, Svarim David Meisharim. They're not so popular Svarim today, but he was a Goin Olam in Yerushalayim in Rechavia. I think he lived Shai Chesed Rechavia, the Chabina Rav. So they used to ask him questions, and everything he right away had a source for in the Torah. It didn't matter. And even in Eitzah, in anything that went on in a person's life, or he would have straight away from the Torah, he would give the answer. That's like a fascinating thing. So, you know, we know there's this concept of Das Torah, in other words, that Chachamim can, because they're in tune with the Ratzon Hashem and with Torah, so they're able to give Eitzah, even in things that are not explicitly written in the Torah, right? But he did like a little bit more than that, they say. Like he would actually be able to show it, not just coming from his head, he would show it in the Torah itself. So they once asked him something in politics. I think maybe it's like who to vote for or who to, or some law. I don't remember what it was. And he said, I don't know, it's not a question. Like what? It's not a question. I don't have a raya one way or the other in the Torah. So it's not a question. And it turned out that ended up being nullified. The whole thing never came to fore. It's a fascinating story. If it was real, it would be in the Torah. It's not gonna happen. It can't be. That's a modern day story of Maisa of a similar bottom that, you know, the Torah really is the blueprint for everything, the way we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be acting. But the same thing, this is a big limud for us, that the nevuas, which seem to be, you know, there's so many nevuas written in Navi and people don't necessarily appreciate them, but they're written there because they're shaykh to all the generations. So when we're, you know, trying to figure things out, it's kedai to look at the Nevi'im. It's kedai to look at the Chumash and the Nevi'im. These Nevu'as are all there because they're all relevant for all the generations. And they are a Nevu'ah. That's the way, and that's more than that. You know, people want to say, oh, why doesn't Hashem speak to us? Why doesn't He give it to us clarity today? What, you know? The answer is that, yes, He's constantly speaking to us. Those Nevu'as that are written, is Hashem still speaking to us today in a relevant, modern-day way? That's the Bina Zeis, I think, that Rabbi Akamesh is saying. Bina Zeis, this is worth dwelling on. Anyway, Vayter in Rabbi Akamesh says, Kein ve'od yoter hu miteva hatfila. He says, so too, and even more so, is in the nature of davening. Okay, the nature of davening has this aspect. Shegam bo gnuzot uklulot nevuot chadashot. That in tefillah as well, are concealed and included new prophecies, which is very important, because why does the Gemara mention that there were 120 Zekanim, and amongst them were Nevi'im? What are they pointing out? Now, with Rabbi Akamosh's explanation, we can understand. Because the only prophecies that are recorded, we said, are Lederis, are prophecies that are going to be relevant to everyone for all the generations. So the ones that would write the tefillah that Klal Yisrael would be speaking about, right, now that we're seeing in Rabbi Akamosh that they include in them nevuas chadashas, the tefillah is a talking, constantly changing in a certain sense, constantly updating with new information to let us to make us privy to. You need Nevi'im to do that. To write in such a way to bring down these nevuas into tefillah, you needed nevi'im. So he says, "Ashe imahu lanu aznayim kruyot." In the tefillah as well, there are these new prophecies that if we had the right ears, if our ears were tuned in properly, we would be able to hear through the tefillah the voice of Hashem speaking to us. Kol hargasha shemargishim anu betfilah v'chanoteinu likrata. Every feeling that we feel in davening or in our preparation for davening, harezu bas kol shel nevuah. It's a bas kol of prophecy. U'bechol yom v'yom ufiot nevuot chadashot. And every day appear new prophecies. Kol Hashem yechol el ayolos. The voice of Hashem scares away the ayolos, v'yechesef yorois, and it bears the forests, uvecholoi kulo yoimer kavod, and his heichal, it's all, they're all saying kavod, the glory of Hashem. This is also something which is worth making mention of. If we chop that, you know, this is a major, major thing. Tefillah usually is thought of as a way of us speaking to Hashem. It's not necessarily our everyday experience, unfortunately, right? Because, you know, people do it three times a day. It just becomes kind of habitual, which is a tragedy. Okay? That's why we're learning on tefillah. Hopefully we'll be able to energize our and invigorate our davening. But we think of it as a way of us speaking to Hashem. And I think I mentioned in the past, but then the question is like, yeah, but it's different than me speaking to the Melech. It's different than speaking to someone because I don't hear him speaking back to me. Well, that's not true. If we really tuned in to the tefillah, we would get answers as well. We would hear Hashem's messages to us. And I think that I think that if people have had sometimes starka tefillahs, like big tefillahs, where you feel connected, if it's the Yom Ne'raim, I found sometimes a kivra, quite often, kivra tzaddikim, you do get this feeling of like Hashem answered you, like he gives you sometimes, there's a matzav where you could get in tefillah, where you get such a clarity, you get such a clarity, that clarity, and it's like almost like a simple thing, it's simpleness, where they're like suddenly things that seem so intricate and complicated in life just become so simple. And that simpleness, that clarity, that comes from Hashem really speaking through the tefillah to you. But again, you have to listen to the words of the tefillah. The tefillah pops out at persons. You know, if you're paying attention and not getting the distractions and the distractions of the thought, when you just zero in on the tefillah, things mamish pop out at a person. Very often, you know, Tehillim, I've seen it many times. It doesn't matter what your problem is in Tehillim, in life. You go, I've gone a number of times to the Kaisel, and I've just sat for a few hours and did the whole Sefer Tehillim. And no matter what the issues you're dealing with, you're going to find those psukim. Exact same emotions, exact same issues. No matter what it is, you're going to find it there in Tehillim, which we know was written in Baruch HaKadosh, Chazal said. So, but now you don't pay attention to it until you're suffering from that thing, right? So at that point, those letters, it's almost like the letters of the Cheshen, those letters light up to you. Those psukim light up to you. You know, that's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to you, his chizik to you in that thing that you're going through, through the Ruach HaKadosh of Dov HaMelech and Tehillim. And the same thing is with the tefillahs. Maybe even on a higher level, because it's a level of nevuah, not just ruach hakodesh. Zoi havchana shebetfila. Now this is where Rabbi Yaakov Moshe comes back to where he started. This is the havchana of tefila. This is where tefila acts as that way of ascertaining where you're holding, the test of where you're holding. Im be'et she'adam mitpalel. I do want to make one more statement before we continue on. I've said this maybe in the past, but it's important to say this again. It's virtually impossible to go into tefillah straight from the street, straight from conversations, and just, you know, just now start talking to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's virtually impossible. Let's be honest, you know. You go into a meeting, right? That's important, an important meeting. So you need that time. One second. You know, you need those few minutes, whatever, just to like remind yourself what you want to accomplish now. So tefillah is no different, you know. You need those, you need at least, eventually you need at least a minute or two, you know. You need more, but I'm being realistic. I know how busy our lives are. I know what, you know, we all have, you know. I always think that, to me, that's like a posh reason why Ashrei before Mincha. You're going in from the, if we go in the fields, right? You don't have this whole big Psuka de Zimra, you don't even have a full Marav, but you have to have something. You can't just go out of nowhere to Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. You need at least the Ashrei. The Ashrei is bringing you to focus. It's just bringing you to focus. Listen, the Rebbein Shalom does me so much. Ashrei Yeshu Yisech, you know, this is about Tehila LeDavid, Arei Mimcha Hashem. It gets you into the, even it's a small thing, but it gets you into it because you need that. So it's very important to like just at least get the Ashrei. You know, a lot of times people just come in that, you're just getting there for Kaddish. So you have to make use of that time. Zoe Havchana Shabatfila Rabbi Yaakov Meir says, this is the Havchana of Tefillah, this is the test that Tefillah provides us. Im be'eis she'adam ispal, if at the time that the person davens, mifa'emet bekirbul haragasha, there's pounding away inside him the feeling of, da lifnei mi ata mitpalel, know before who you are davening. That's only because his ways, his path in life, is pathways of life that are bringing to the life of Olam Haba. And this feeling that he feels of Dalif Nemiato Mispal, that feeling is an echo, is a baskol from Olam Haba that's coming down into Olam Hazeh. And that's what the Talmidim, that's what he was answering to the Talmidim. The Talmidim were asking, you know, how do we know that we're on the right path? Give us some ways of knowing if we are really on the right path in life that's going to bring us to Olam Haba. Nothing to do with that they're going to serve Almanas. They want to know they're on the right track. How do I know I'm not fooling myself? How do I know I'm not fooling myself? So this is one of the ways that he told them is du'u lifnei mi atem oimdim. When you are davening, do you have that feeling of lifnei mi atem isbalim? Do you have that feeling that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there something different going on when you're davening than the rest of the day? If you have that, then you know in general, in life, you are on a good track. You're Olam Habadik. You're moving in the direction of Olam Haba. So, Bez Hashem, we should all be Zeicha to get that level of Mahalo in every single tefillah. You know, sometimes a person, you know, again, you got to step in. You got to step in. But if you step in and you feel that, that should give you a big chizik that you're doing something right. All right. Any questions or auras?
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Yeah. So I'll say.
Also speaking to us doing something and also getting back each time.
Right. I mean, well, from the Arizal itself, you want to let me just first. The Ara he's making is that the Arizal points out it's actually a Zohar, but the Arizal says that every single tefillah, you know, and again, it looks like the same tefillah over and over and over again. And he says that every single tefillah is mesake, and it's fixing up, it's rectifying in a different spot. There's no two tefillahs that are doing the same exact thing. Every single tefillah is connected another spot in time, another sphere, another, right? And that connects very nicely, like Avi is saying, to the fact that there's like new nevuahs that are coming out, because every tefillah is connected to another point in time, to another sphere, to another place, another spiritual aspect of history, of the world. And the nevuah then is coming down per that sinor, that specific, that specified spot in the time and place of world history. Yeah, that's a good ha'ara. Okay, very good. Freilichen Chanukah, a good vach, and a good chaydish. Okay, take care, everybody. Okay, bye-bye.